Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babes?
Very good. How was Ibiza? Your tan is looking intense.
Thanks, babe. Yeah, Ibiza was amazing. Thank you. Really nice. Just a weekend over there, but yeah, really nice. I call like closing weekend over there. But the weather was still really nice. I mean, I think I just keep forgetting that it's the middle of October.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it too much, especially when you're in Spain, I guess, in the Mediterranean. Did you attend lots of parties?
Yeah, so we did a lot of the closing stuff, which is really nice. Because I guess because it's Ibiza and be in Spain come winter, I mean, it's always nicer than here, the weather, isn't it? But it's not like the Canaries that stay open all over Christmas and New Year. I think a lot of Spain and Ibiza kind of closes down. So that weekend, you could already see a lot of bars closing and restaurants closing. I guess they kind of do like their maintenance or... It's probably just economically, it's like a better thing to do over the winter.
Yeah.
Can't say that word very well.
Economically.
Economically. But yeah, really nice. Thank you. How was your week?
Good. Yeah, really good. I had my mum and sister come to visit. My mum, I've lived in London since 2008, and it was the first time my mum stayed overnight. So we had a really nice time, went out for some nice food and... walked around and she wanted to go to Fortnum and Mason's and see all the like Christmas displays. She's a crafter, so she's basically been doing Christmas stuff since like August, since when the heat wave was on.
Oh, love that.
Yeah, so she was enjoying all of that. It was really nice. She was on good form. We watched a bit of Strictly, we had a Chinese, you know, all of the good stuff.
Perfect weekend.
It was really nice, quite wholesome.
A lot of the shops uptown, are they very Christmassy now? I guess a lot of the big department stores will have their Christmas shops open now.
Definitely a lot of the bigger ones. I think the smaller ones are still sort of Halloween because we haven't even got to that yet, have we? Fortnum Mason's definitely did. We went to, where else did we go? Oh, actually, we went to Chinatown. That was really nice. It was really good. And on the Sunday though, my sister was like, I really want to go to Westfield. And I was like, ooh, Westfield on a Sunday at peak time. So I ended up sort of a bit like, you know, you see like when husbands stand outside the shops while their wives are like walking around. I was basically a bit like that, waiting for them to call me to be like, okay, we're done now. But it was really nice to have them here, and it was actually I love my nephews, but when you have two young kids come with, it's always kind of everything that they want to do, you know, it's all geared towards that. This was much more like chill pace and just enjoying each other's company. It was really, really nice, and I'm pleased.
Well, when will you next see them now for Christmas? Will you go up there?
Yeah, probably. I usually well, last year, because I can work from home, I sort of spent a week and a half there, which was the longest I've spent sort of continuously for a long time. But it was actually, again, it was really nice. So, I imagine it'll be Christmas, unless my mum decides now she's like coming up to London every other weekend. And at this point, I might have to be like, mum, let's calm down slightly. Very much
used to Baltimore and Masons and loves a bit of London shopping. Can't blame her.
You can't blame her. You know, best city in the world for shopping and all of that. So, it was really nice. I've also developed a new obsession, which might be a bit of a surprise. I'm obsessed with The Sims, the computer game, The Sims.
Gosh, I remember that. Yeah. So, I mean, I was never much of a player of The Sims. I couldn't really get my head around it. Is that the one where you kind of build them a house and you kind of live their lives?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they brought it back, or did it never go away?
So we're now on The Sims 4. And yesterday, PlayStation were giving it away for free. And I was like, oh, I'm just gonna download this. And I haven't played it for years. I was up for 4 hours. I stayed up till past midnight. I didn't even realise that the time had like gone. I was just literally like, wow, shit, this is like a whole new kettle of fish. I mean, I'm literally already thinking, once I finish this, I need to get home and start playing Sims, because I mean, at least it's good, wholesome fun, you know? At least,
that's great.
could be much worse.
So how far have you got in your 4 hours? Have you got an house yet?
Not far. I've got a house, yeah, got a house, and I've made one and two acquaintances. I'm trying to flirt with a man called Travis.
I love it. They've got names. Have you called him Travis, or he's called Travis?
He's called Travis. He's like part of the program. My one's named after me, so I've got a Stephen running back. I'm this is going to be. I sense a new obsession that I'm going to be fully on board with, which is
Travis. You're reuniting with Travis, aren't you? That's what you're doing, Stephen.
So my virtual self has a better life.
How are you
life
flirting with Travis? How does it work?
There's all these new ways of doing things that I wasn't used to on like the original Sims. So you can give them a compliment, you can take the mick out of them, you can tell them a joke, all these things. So I was basically me up until past midnight chuffing on my vape. Playing on the PlayStation like I was 19 again or something.
I love it. I want weekly updates to see how you and Travis get on. Who knows? Something
so
could
depressing.
Come of it.
Well, enough about me and the Sims, enough about you and Ibiza and my family. We've got a really exciting show coming up. We've had quite a few TOWI sort of stars on in the last couple of weeks. We've got Elma, who's one of the new one, she's coming on up first. Then we have a friend of the show, Sean, former Apprentice winner 2018, Sean Gabadon, on to talk about she's recently parted ways with Lord Sugar, so lots to talk about her with that. And then from recent Drag Race UK star Starlet, who departed in the second week, is coming on, and she's quite outspoken about her experience on the show. So great to find out some behind the scenes goss, whatever they're allowed to say contractually. You know, there's always with Drag Race, you know, there's always a limit.
Potentially this could be an episode of Pure Tea. What with Alan Sugar and RuPaul?
Yeah.
Who knows?
The pure tea, let's just rename it, actually. That's quite a good name. Bobby and Steve's Pure Tea. I'm well up for that. There's been some good showbiz gossip actually just come out today. Well, apart from the government imploding, which I'm obviously obsessed with as a political nut, there's also been Meghan Markle coming out and doing a big interview. What have you made of it, Bob? Have you seen it? It has only just come out, so you might not have read it yet.
So, I've seen a couple of articles about it. So this was on her podcast talking to Paris Hilton, wasn't it?
So yeah, there's that. And then she's done a follow-up interview with Variety Magazine.
Now you've got to spill the tea. Fill me up.
Yeah.
What's so the Markle goss this week?
Well, so she's talked about the Queen dying, which I think is quite big. She said that, you know, she's still in mourning. She was great. To have experiences with her and how lovely a person she is. She also said that relations between Harry and the family continue to be complicated, but he's an optimist. I mean, I don't know if you got that from the Oprah interview, but certainly that's that's what she thinks. There's quite a lot to sort of chew on. I don't know, I always feel a bit like difficult years with Meghan when she speaks out, which she's perfectly entitled to do.
Mm.
The royals can't speak back. Right, they can't do a sit down chat on Radio One or a chat with Vanity Fair magazine about all that they want to sort of complain about and say. I don't know. I'm kind of what do you make of it?
Talking out. I think like you say. I think especially like looking back at the Oprah interview. When so much was spoken about over the course of that interview, and some really explosive stuff, really, no one on the other side of the camp could ever really yes. respond. You know yes. what I mean? So whether it was Kate couldn't respond when it was the stuff over who made who cry.
The bridesmaids fittings and that. Yeah,
so it all becomes tricky. But of course, everyone has the right to speak their truth. I think it just becomes a little bit complicated when only one side of the fence can talk and is talking. I hadn't seen that yet, but I'm intrigued because I have seen a lot in the press that, and again, as we know, we don't know how much is just like press talk or what is like official, but that they're trying to kind of claw back a lot of Harry's book and trying to maybe filter that a little bit.
Yeah.
And same with
the Netflix show. Yeah.
And again, there's people saying that that's solely because, well, the titles are at stake. They think King Charles isn't going to give the kids titles if either the book or the Netflix show isn't to his fancy, really. But again, it's kind of one of them things, and it's not for us to say whether they should or shouldn't be doing it. But at what point, I mean, the Queen was 96. You would have thought that this was eventually, however soon it happened, whether it was this year or in a couple of years, this was inevitably gonna happen. I mean, the timing probably couldn't be worse, though, for both the book coming out in time for Christmas and the Netflix show. But, yeah, it's a tricky one. I'd be intrigued to know where they're getting on with that, though, because knowing production companies and publishers, they're not going to want to completely take everything out on it. I mean, they're getting big paychecks here. Let's have it right. They're not there doing
$100 million, I think, is the rumor, or round about that.
So they're going to want a bit of bang for their buck.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you don't just want some sort of puff piece of them talking about their charity work. You know what I mean? You want some, meat on the bones, I guess. Well, apparently the Netflix show has been delayed.
Maybe they are re-editing a lot of it then.
Yeah, because I think at one point it was due at the end of this year, but they're worried about the backlash from The Crown, because this period of the next series of The Crown is Charles's divorce from Diana and her death. Yeah. So there's quite a lot of stuff to sort of cover.
Because there'll probably be some people that are maybe 10, 15 years younger, so I don't know, from teens to early 20s, mid-20s, that might not know the backstory to that. I mean, I remember, I think I was, what year did she die? 1997. So I think I was just 11 starting.
11 or 12, to, yeah.
Yeah, well, I remember that very well, as well as you can as an 11-year-old. My mum was a huge Diana fan, so I kind of was always, you just know when your family's speaking about things, and I remember like that morning waking up and seeing the whole news stuff and you just couldn't avoid that for what seemed forever. It was obviously awful, wasn't it? But for people that are younger, they might not know the backstory to Charles and Camilla or Diana's stuff. So when that comes out on The Crown, I mean, I'll be honest, I've never been the biggest fan of The Crown in terms of I've never really sat down and binged it fully. Ironically, it would kind of be the years I would want to watch would be the kind of ones we're probably getting to now, the stuff I know about.
Yeah.
But I think people that don't fully understand, because there is still this thing where everyone thinks it's a documentary.
Yeah, it is a fictionalised retelling.
I did see Harry's interview with James Corden when he did like the open top bus thing, driving around LA drinking tea, bless him, saying that I think like he watches it and that some of it is obviously, I think a lot of us know it is based on reality. Obviously, it's not fully that.
I think it's more like the events that happened are definitely true, but some of the details and the things that they say are not. You know, I remember the scene where someone breaks into the Queen's bedroom at Buckingham Palace, and no one's ever revealed what was said in that that chat publicly. So they made it up, you know. But then in the process of that, then people watch it and think, oh, you know, they might not have read the piece that said some of this stuff is fictional, you know. So I do find it quite, it is interesting.
People that are now coming to terms with, obviously, better after losing the Queen and now Charles becoming king, and this coming so soon after that, probably not something him or Camilla, I imagine, want going out. So
yeah, 100%.
Almost, because you don't know if people are going to be sat there watching it and then almost taking on information they might never have knew anything about, and then judging the king as it stands.
It's true.
I think 20 odd years ago. So yeah, it's strange how the timing of The Crown is where it's at, the Harry's book and the Netflix thing have all come around the time of
Yeah, it's awkward to say the least. Has there been any other showbiz news that you've seen this week, Bob?
What else has been going on? It's been quite a busy week, isn't it?
Speaking of James Corden, did you see all the drama around him and the restaurant that said he was banned?
So, yeah, the restaurant owner has put out a tweet, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did a sort of. He said that James Corden had been incredibly rude to staff. That was it. And said because James had made a real song and dance about the fact that he asked for an egg white omelette and there was a tiny bit of yellow in it, and kicked off and demanded free drinks and blah blah blah. I've seen like this sort of rude behaviour before. I wonder if it wasn't James Corden, if because he rang up the restaurant and apologised, didn't he, for his behaviour after being called out about it. Didn't consider before. So I don't know. I'm always a little bit unsure about him. I don't know. Something makes me a little bit, I don't know.
But I think I've read somewhere that since James called the restaurant, that the manager's now kind of saying, oh, he's not banned now. Like, it's, thank you for the apology. We'll lift the ban and all is good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess no one wants that sort of bad publicity, do they?
No. It's quite a brave thing for a restaurant manager of a lot of a very high popular celebrity known clientele restaurant in New York to call out a huge star.
Yeah, 100%.
But
if their behaviour is that bad, I think it's fair enough to do it, isn't it?
It says a lot for the manager to stand by his staff and go, actually, I'm not having it. I don't care who you are. I'm going to call you out for it. So, yeah.
Have you ever been surprised by someone's like bad behaviour in a restaurant or anything? I bet you've probably come across a few in your time.
One or two. One or two people. Yeah, absolutely.
We don't have to go into it. But is it quite difficult when you know, I've been out with you, you're a very polite person. Is it quite difficult when you have to actually sit there and watch it from someone else? I know, even if it's like watching my grandparents say something to a waiter or something, I'm like, oh God, don't.
Yeah, but it's one of them situations sometimes, and it might not necessarily be in a restaurant, it could be the way someone's speaking to someone else, could be in a shop or
shop assistant,
in many different situations and walks of life. I find it really uncomfortable to be around.
Hmm.
I mean, it's one of them where you want the ground to kind of swallow you up. And
especially if you've been in service jobs like you and I both have, you know, as a hairdresser and all of that. It's, yeah, you know what it's really like.
Yeah, and it's really uncomfortable, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I totally know that feeling. Right, well, our first guest, she's here, Elma Pizarre from TOWI. Let's get her in.
Let's do it.
Hello!
How are you? Thanks for joining us, Elma.
Thank you for having me, guys. How are you both?
Really good.
Thank you. Really good.
What's been going down?
What has been going down? Not a lot at the moment. Obviously, TOWI's stopped filming, so I'm no longer doing the films. So I'm just working working away. Literally just got home probably about 10 minutes ago. And then I was like, all panicking. I was like, oh, I'm going to be late. It's
fine. And how did you find TOWI this series?
I loved it. I'm going to be honest. I really enjoyed myself. I thought it was a lot of fun. I'd like to think I'm quite a drama-free person. So fortunately for me, I didn't actually get involved in much, which was great. I just feel like I had a big ball of fun with it, to be honest.
But you did film it a little while ago, right?
We stopped filming in August. So not it wasn't like as long ago as it feels like, I guess, really.
Is it quite weird watching yourself back and sort of you're thinking like, oh God, I can't remember saying that or, or getting involved in that conversation or whatever?
Do you know what I think it is? I think because so much happens in such a short period of time, well, no, not even that, because you're filming for so long and then it obviously gets cut down to a very short period of things. I don't even think it's like you think, oh, what have I said? It's more like you're shocked to yourself because you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. Oh yeah, I would have acted exactly the same as what's come across. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's more of what it was for me. It's more like you forget because it was a while ago and now you're watching it back now. You forget of all the drama. And I think as well, I don't know if Bobby might know this. I don't know if some of the cast members are saying this, but before it's normally filmed and it goes along as it's filmed, filmed, whereas now we filmed it all and then it aired. So I feel like you don't even know what people are saying about you or about other people behind their backs. Then you're hearing it now firsthand.
I would hate that so much.
Yeah, now you're hearing it firsthand. You're like, oh my God, the audacity. Do you know what I mean? But luckily, I didn't really get, as I said, I didn't really get caught up in anything. So it didn't really matter to me too much.
So although you weren't involved in it directly, how many episodes are left of this series? Is it approaching the last few now?
I think we're on the last three. We're probably on the last three or the last two, I reckon. This coming Sunday will probably be the last one of three, I want to say.
And was it quite dramatic to be around as the series progressed?
Maybe. I feel like I missed all the drama. Like, I'm watching it back now and I'm like, how did I miss that argument? And how did I miss, do you know what I mean? I sit down and I think, when did that happen? Like, it's almost like they send me away and they bring me back, and then I'm just like, and I'm away with the fairies half the time anyway. So I feel like if it happened in front of me, I'd be like, oh God, that wasn't meant to happen, was it? Like, do you know what I mean? So I watch things and I'm like, oh wow. But yeah, I feel like they obviously things have unraveled more, and I feel like there's a lot more in the press and stuff like that, and people obviously buy it on social media. So that's all fun and games to watch as well, because I think that's a drama in itself. Like, if you follow it all and you watch it all, it's all one big thing in itself anyway. It's never ending, that's for sure.
How different is it to what year were you on Love Island? Is it
2019?
So that was what, 3 years ago now? How different is it as an experience to that? Because I mean, the filming is completely different, right?
The film is completely different. It's so much more intense. It's an everyday thing. Obviously, like sleeping, even going to the toilet, even it's very, very constant. So this is like, I think as well, the way we are in Essex is like, I feel like we're similar. Like, everyone's cut from the same cloth. Even if you don't like someone, you're all more or less the same. We've got the same kind of morals. And if we don't, then that's why we don't get on or whatever. But we all know the same people. We all mix with the same kind of groups. We all go out to the same kind of places. It's so different. Whereas when you're like thrown into somewhere like Love Island, you're all literally from all parts of the UK. You're very, very different. Even your the way you speak, like, is so, so different. So I feel like Love Island's like more adapting, whereas we've already adapted for TOWIE. Like, we already know what it's about, if that makes sense.
And do you still keep in touch with people from your series of Love Island? Are you still close with them?
Yeah, I've got like a good group of girls. Obviously, everyone's friends on social media and stuff as well. I never ever fell out with anyone. I wasn't in there long enough to fall out with anyone, to be honest. So it wasn't like I could sit there and have a problem with anyone, because what was I doing? Do you know what I mean? Honestly, if I'm being completely honest, I don't even think I had time to change my knickers. I was in and out that quick. Like, so realistically, I'm quite lucky. I think the whole experience for me in general, like the whole reality TV scene for me, has been really positive rather than like a negative one or anything like that.
And I guess as well, like you say, that some people chase drama, don't they?
Yeah.
They're trying to get more airtime from it, or they just kind of do it for like attention and stuff like that. But yeah, it doesn't seem like you say, like in Love Island, some people, they almost go in there and within 2 days want to have a tear up with someone.
I know, you can imagine like, as well. I don't know if it's
just how you get so angry, you can't even know their surname yet. Like, how
no, it's like, I don't know if it is the pressure though. Do you know, like, where you know that you're like in a confined environment? I guess realistically, it's an experiment, isn't it? So it's like you're put in a confined environment where you literally cannot escape. So I guess it's completely different. That's probably what it is. Whereas I guess with TOWIE, it's like if you've had enough, you just walk off. You're like, I ain't doing this or this. I'm off. See you later. Do you know what I mean?
Ooh. Yeah, totally get that. Now, you mentioned earlier you've got a sort of day job, haven't you, as well?
I've got a day job. Eyelash extensions. Yeah, so in the beauty industry, I absolutely love it. I think it suits me to a T. I love talking, as you probably tell, don't stop. So it's like, it just works perfectly for me. I just sit there just doing my clients, and I think my clients become my friends. So then it's more like it doesn't even feel like a job anymore. Does that make sense? It just flows for me. Days go so quick. You don't even realise, like, I'm in there in the morning, then all of a sudden it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, where has the day actually gone?
And have you found it quite easy juggling that around filming?
I think the first couple of weeks, it was quite, not stressful, stressful is the wrong word, but I think I was just where I am, so like a million miles an hour. I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to have any space to put anyone in. But I think by like the third week, I kind of like adjusted to it. And I think people adjusted to me as well, which is like the advantage of it, because you work your own hours. I've got a website where people, it's a booking system. So I would just block out when I was filming, so it worked quite well. I guess if it was like filming a bit more constant, like 6 days a week, like it used to be, it might have been a bit of an issue. But I think 3 days a week wasn't really a problem for me, because it was smack bang in the middle of the week as well. It's like Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. So realistically, people want their lashes done for the weekend, didn't they? So I could work Fridays, Saturdays. They love their lashes done for the weekend. They wanted their lashes done on a Monday or even a Sunday, I'd still do it. So it wasn't really a problem.
Yeah, well, I remember in the early days sitting up sometimes till gone half 11 at night waiting for a text telling me what time I was filming the next
day. Yeah, we've had a few of them. I'm like, oh, I haven't got a text, I might not be filming. And all of a sudden, ding, it's like after, and you're like, right, brilliant, need to find an outfit that matches this. And he's in the sock going mad, didn't you? Like, I don't have that.
Which is kind of hard if you know you've got a set of lashes booked in at 9 in the morning and you're finding out at 11 that you've got
to build up. It's completely different.
Do you think you'll keep doing both, hopefully, you know, the show and the lashes, and, you know, keep working your main job?
I mean, I don't see why not. I would never give up the lashes. The lashes is my bread and butter. That's like, to me, I see things as like, what's longevity? And I think that's always been something. I've done it for the last 5 years. I'll always do it. It's what I enjoy. I love it. I couldn't love it anymore. So I feel like, you know, like everyone's got like a niche. I feel like lashes is my niche. Like it was made for me, and I was made for it. So I feel like that is why we work perfectly together. So yeah, I think as long as neither of them like interrupts each other and whatever, I think yeah, I would always do both. There's no reason not to.
And how's the love life, babe?
Anyone, it's non-existent, Bob. It's so non-existent. It makes me sick. So obviously on the show, the whole way through, I was with somebody, and by the end of it, I was no longer with that person. They were off screen, so it wasn't like it was ever brought to the show. And then, yeah, just nothing.
And have you had anyone sliding in the old DMs?
No one slides for me. No one even like touch her box. Like it literally is just like no one cares. Like literally, I don't know what it is. Do you know, it probably doesn't help that I roll around as a bush on national television. That probably doesn't really help, because it's like the most like I went in that scene. I had Amber, who's all dressed up, all sexy spine, and there's me rolling about the whole Brentwood High Street being neighborhood watch. It just doesn't really fit. So that's probably why I don't get anyone sliding in. I mean, yeah, I just feel like maybe it's probably for the best right now that I'm actually on my own, seeing as nobody wants me. Do you know what I mean? It's like one of them situations. It's just riding the wave that doesn't really exist. That's what I'm doing at the moment.
How long were you with your ex that you were talking about?
Oh, not very long. Like probably 5 months. I was seeing him first and it like gradually went into something. So I'd say the whole thing was about 5 months. Yeah. I just feel like I've got this, this happens to me a lot. I feel like they give it all. They give it all. I give it all in the beginning. And I'm like, full swing ADHD, so it's like, wait, everything's sparks are flying, it's brilliant, and then it gets to like month three and I slow down, and then they completely halt, like that's it, and then I'm sick and tired of people just giving half an effort. They give it in the beginning. If you're going to be half-hearted about it, just do that from the beginning, so then I know where I stand. That's my problem. So then I'm expecting you to be this great person that you was like in week one and week two and week four, and you're not by week, I don't know, 15. And we're both bored, and I'm just sick of it, and I just can't be bothered. And then, yeah, that's it. And then it's like on to the next. And it's
at least you know that. At least you know that about yourself.
Who
would be your dream guy?
My dream guy? Oh, I don't even have one of those. I used to love the pants off Dyads, and he just keeps palming me off. So it's over. It's over. I'm sick and tired of declaring my love to him publicly and getting absolutely nowhere. I'm sick and tired of it. So, yeah, I don't have a dream guy. Sod 'em all.
I think that is the perfect note to end it on.
Yeah.
Elma, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Best of luck with the rest of the series.
Welcome. Take care, darling.
Bye. Love you all.
Bye. You too. Getting palmed off by Dyads. No one wants that, do they?
Well, I think, like she said, maybe coming out of a relationship, bit of time to... I think I'm just a big believer. When you look for something, you don't necessarily find it. That's what I tell myself anyway.
Same here, babe. So totally on board with that. I think you and I are well established in that opinion.
That's our mantra.
Right, our second guest, Sean Gabadon from The Apprentice, is here. Let's get her in.
Let's do it.
Hello.
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 Hi, Sean. How are you doing?
Hello, babe.
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Really good. What's been going down?
Good.
Just cracking on, really. Just, you know, getting on with life. I'm on my own now, so I'm not with Lord Sugar anymore. And I'm just, yeah, I'm nearly 30, so I'm just enjoying my youth before I get into my 30s.
Babe, what has happened with you and Sugar?
We parted ways. It was kind of on, I guess, on my terms. I decided that I wanted to do my own thing. We'd had 4 years together, you know, it being a roller coaster of a journey. And for me, it was just about taking back my business and doing things my own way, I guess.
Is it difficult? Yeah.
Say that again.
How did he take it? What did you do? Did you drop him a WhatsApp or did you email him?
No.
How did you sack Lord Sugar? Because not many people call him in and sack him.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it was, you know, no one got sacked, but it was just a conversation and, you know, I'd already kind of said, you know, I think it's time for me to go my own way now and do my own thing. And we kind of just came to an agreement and... Yeah, I'm just living my best life, I guess, now. Not in a negative way towards him, but it's just nice to, you know, and to have a bit more fun. It's such a serious show and a serious... Then, obviously, to go on to win it and become, you know, his business partner. It's so serious. I'm like, I just want to enjoy, have fun, and I guess make up for some of the time, maybe, where it was so... You know, I spent 4 years of hardcore work and business, so now I'm like, I just want to have a bit of fun.
Was it difficult, though, to make that decision? It can't have been an easy sort of, like, you know, flick of the switch.
Yeah, it was difficult. I think after, you know, the amount of time together and where the business was and where, you know, what we wanted for it or what I wanted for it, it was more just me. And, you know, it's hard because, as any business owner knows, even when you're just running things on your own, like it's hard work and it's full on and it's constant every single day. And then having a partner, you know, for me, at times it was more just that I'm like, I need to find myself. I feel like I lost myself a little bit. And I think every business owner could say the same thing, and especially when you've got such a high profile partner, you've been on a TV show, like all eyes are on you. You know, for me, it just got to a point where I thought, I just want to, like, you know, 30 was the big number for me. I thought, I really just want to enjoy my life now and not feel like I'm, you know, got all my years of stress. Like, I want to get into my 30s and be able to relax a little bit. So it was definitely a big decision, but one that I'm kind of happy I made. You know, I am thankful, obviously, for everything and for the show. But for me, just personally, you know, now it's more about, I think in business, it's about your mental health being good too. And yeah, you know, you spend a lot of time not thinking about yourself, always thinking about the business and what you're going to do next. And for me, it was like, I actually need to just think about me for once and what I want.
And are you quite big on gut feelings? Like, if you have a feeling for something or you have a vibe, do you follow it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I mean, that's what led me to going on to the show in the first place and applying. And, you know, I like to live in the moment. And I think with a business, you know, when you're so in the limelight and it's so hardcore, you're constantly looking at the future and what's coming up. And for me now, I'm like, I want to actually just enjoy every moment I've got and you know, and have fun and get on with life and business. Finding a balance, finding a work-life balance, definitely, that's a major thing.
There's something to be said about turning 30. Like, I remember, like, when I was approached, well, from the day I turned 29, I was on a 12-month countdown.
You was only 21.
Oh, what will I know?
You don't look a day over 21, Bobby.
Bless you. That's why I love you. But for 12 months, I genuinely, because I just had this thing in my head, I think there's such a pressure on, I mean, any number that ends in a zero is always a new milestone, and it's a new decade. But 30, I think, especially growing up, I just remember by 30 you have to have this list of things, and life just isn't like that, is it?
Not at all. Do you know what, for me, 25 was my age of like, I want to have kids and I want to have a house and I want to, and then you get to 25 and you're like, okay, we'll move it to 30. And then I think for me, looking at 30s and where I'm at and what I want to do, I'm like, you know, I do want to settle down and have kids at some point. I've been with my boyfriend for bloody 11, 12 years now. And I just wouldn't want to start the next stage of something like that or marriage or whatever it is and feel like stressed every day, because it's just not good. It's not good for your mental health or physical health. And like this year for me has been a big one on both of those, and just physical health, the same thing, you know, getting myself in a strong physical position, going to the gym and getting back to what I used to do, you know, before everything was just about business. So it's been like I feel like it's a bit cringy to say it, but it's like I found myself now this year, and I'm taking control of what I want.
Yeah. That's an amazing place to be.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's something that, I mean, everybody in general, but especially business owners, like, it's hard because when you're wanting to push and succeed, you have to get your head in it. But then you do realise that without your mental health and your physical health, it don't matter, because long term, it's not. It might for a short period of time, but you'll burn yourself out. And I feel like, you know, that's what happens with a lot of people. So I'm quite happy that I've been able to kind of find myself again and do my thing.
Is fashion, the business is still going though? Are you still working and doing all of the things that you were doing before?
Yeah, exactly that. I think it's now just about being as efficient as possible as a business. It's still a major part of me, my life, you know, it's my brand, but it's just about, I think it's just about having that. I think, like I keep saying, like for a long time, it was all business and no pleasure in some ways, and now I'm like, I need a bit of both, because it's just not, you know, it's too hard to do. And although having a business partner is still very lonely, and it always will be in some ways, because no one fully understands when it's your name
and your money.
So it's, you know, it's been a lonely journey, and it's nice to, I guess, have the fun side too, and, you know, just enjoy yourself a bit as well.
So you talk about your fella, you've been with him like 11 odd years.
Yes.
Is marriage on the cards? You said you'd like to get married and have children. Have you kind of done the whole subtle pointing out engagement ring going, oh, I like the shape of that one, this is what I like?
No, do you know what? Everybody always is like, oh, so when are you going to get married? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not the one asking the question. But no, I think it's been such a journey for us, because we've been together for forever, you know, and we may as well be married because we've been together for so long. But because of even just my business and his work as well, you know, he's an actor. So we're always just so busy. And I think, again, for us, it was like saying, okay, we need to start making time for each other now and look at our own futures, and not always it be about careers and it be actually about us. So I don't know when there'll be a wedding. I don't know if there will be, but I would like to get married. So if he is out there listening, you know, no hints dropping, there's no rings on these fingers yet.
I was going to say, but by the end of this interview, you'll be sat there listening to Access All Areas over on Blue Bar Radio, and I reckon by the weekends, you're having a ring.
Well, that'd be great. I mean, we're going away next week for my birthday.
Perfect timing.
I know. Well, I'm only kidding.
Me and Stephen want the exclusive here when it happens.
Yeah, I'll tell you first, don't worry.
obviously, I guess for you, like, your apprentice journey has kind of come to an end with no longer working with Lord Sugar. What would you say to someone who's considering entering for the next series, or with you having a whole perspective on it from, you know, auditioning to winning to then, you know, through to the other side? What would you make of it now, and what advice would you give?
I wouldn't change anything in some ways from an apprentice perspective. Like the actual show is bizarre and amazing and hard, and it's like a mad mixture of emotions that you can't even explain. But I would just say, if somebody's thinking of applying, just make sure you know your stuff. And how do we explain it? Try and imagine how hard it's going to be, because you don't think about it. I didn't. Right. Like, I applied and I thought, oh, you know, you watch that 1 hour on a Wednesday, it's all a bit funny. It's really hard work. Like, it's full on, and you're tired and you're up early and it's late night. So I'm like, if you're applying to go on it, just prepare yourself, because it will be an absolute journey. It's going to be hard work.
But you wouldn't tell someone not to do it?
No, I probably wouldn't. I'd just say be, like, prepared for it. I think, and it's a really poor way to explain it, because you can't prepare for it, but just, like, be aware that it's not as fun and funny as it looks on TV, because it's it's more than just a TV show, do you know what I mean? You actually get an investment at the end of it. So, like, it's really difficult. And you live with everyone whilst then filming for the show. So it's like Big Brother meets The Apprentice, do you know what I mean? You just know and see the Big Brother side, so...
And that's the thing, I guess a lot of people that apply as are judging it on that 1 hour show they see every week that they've watched the previous year, and not thinking of the living with other people, that what goes into that whole filming day, the behind the scenes. Because obviously when it comes to the hour show, it's TV. They're gonna wrap that up into an episode for TV, aren't they? But the reality is it's so much more than that behind the scenes. So I think that's probably the best advice you can give. So I don't turn up thinking it's all shits and giggles.
Yeah, definitely not. And be prepared. You know, not everything is fully explained because there ain't enough time. So just make sure every time you do chip in or you do have something to say, like, just think about it, because that one clip could be just making something that you're doing look really bad when it's like, oh my god, that's not actually, you know, it wasn't like that. But I think it's a crazy show, and I think, you know, it's amazing in the craziness. So it's like, just go for it if you're interested.
And I think you're lucky if you have a series where everyone kind of gets on, or there's a few people you're close to, that probably helps a bit. But if there's one or two bad eggs in a show where it's that intense, especially living with people, and within 3 days someone's getting on your tits, you're probably a bit like, oh my god, these are long working days as it is, and then I've got to go home and live with this person that I hate.
Exactly. Do you know what, it was so hard, because sometimes you'd be on a task and like there'd be someone who'd just done your head in all day, and like you say, you'd get home and think, I've now got to actually live with this, I've got to share a room with this person, or do you know what I mean? Like, and it was hard because you had to have like a relationship on screen and off screen, because you know, you have to be an adult and kind of be like, okay, let's just forget about that for today. That's what I mean. You don't really think about all that side, but it's so hard to like to get through.
Was there awkward dinners, like if you had a Domino's or something turned up and was there a lot of silence, you just all sat there eating?
And to be honest, we'd be so tired by the end of the day, there'd be pretty much silence most of that. I'm an only child, and I used to get to a point where I'd be like, I don't even want to be around anyone. I'd literally just want to be on my own tonight. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just need...
Bob, I bet you have that as well, don't you?
I'm an only child, so I 150% agree with what you're saying. Like, own space, love it. You just want to get in your own room and close the door.
Yeah, and just literally speak to no one for like an hour. That's how I'd feel some nights. But then it was amazing having everyone around, because I've never really had that, so it was weird. I never, you know, with uni and stuff, I never moved out, so to live with loads of people, it was like, what the hell, this is weird. But yeah, ups and downs, it was crazy.
Do you think there might
it's
be any
part
other
of the journey?
It is. And I think, I genuinely think, when you actually go on the show, because it's such a crazy period of filming and stuff, you learn a lot about, I learn a lot about myself. Like, I knew I was quite chilled out, but I managed to deal with situations better than I thought I would. And I think you do, you learn a lot about yourself and learn how you know, because you're put in such weird situations, you don't really know how you'd react. So luckily for me, I managed to do all right.
Could there be any other reality shows in your future, do you think?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, I would actually love to do more TV because I really enjoy it, but I don't really know. I can't imagine. I do love dancing, and I don't know if I'm really good at it, but I don't know.
If you get a call for Strictly, would you be up for a bit of Strictly?
Oh, I'd love a bit of Strictly. I mean, I don't know if Clint would, though. That's the thing, my boyfriend, because, you know, you've got the whole Strictly curse. Not that that would even apply, but love Strictly. I mean, I'm a celeb, love I'm a celeb, but I just don't know about eating all this. I just don't know if I'd be able to do it. I'd probably be that one that does every task, you know, because I'm really bad at it.
What about a bit of dancing on ice? You said you'd like a bit of dancing. How about on a sheet of frozen water?
Give it a go. I'm not great at dancing, so I don't know about on ice if I'd be any better, but I'm quite athletic, so I like sporty stuff, so I think I'd probably get to grips with it. But oh yeah, I'd love to do all like that. It's just a laugh, isn't it?
And I think someone who's so good at business like yourself, that you must have a certain kind of brain about you going into a competition like that, for instance, if it was Dance on Ice, you must have that kind of mindset where you put your mind to something, even if you weren't the best dancer or skater, you would just give it your all, just see it differently to someone who maybe isn't from that background.
Definitely, yeah. I think I guess for me growing up, whether it was business or just general life, like I'm quite competitive. So anything I'm doing, I'm like, I'll get fully stuck in. And I'll learn, you know, like if I did Dance on Ice, I'd be watching like Dancing on Ice series from years ago and brush it. I'd be a proper geek with it.
I know how I am.
But yeah, I do like to get stuck in if I'm going to do something and give it my all, definitely.
Oh, it's worked for you so far, isn't it? Yeah. Sean, thank you so much for joining us, Stephen. Really appreciate it. And best of luck with your newfound freedom.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And have a lovely engagement next week.
I'll let you know. I'll drop you a WhatsApp.
Come back and tell us.
Okay, darling.
Thanks, Sean.
Bye.
I'll happily go to the wedding. You know, no issues there.
I think we've guaranteed seats. We've basically called the engagement on. I think we deserve a place.
I'm well up for that.
A little vol-au-vent.
Oh yeah, vol-au-vent and a glass of champagne. Can't be it. Well, our final guest Starlet from Drag Race UK is here. Let's get her in.
Hi.
Hello, Starlet. Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Really good. Thank you so much for joining us. How have you been?
I'm good, thank you. I've just been throwing myself into work and just keeping busy.
Yeah, what's it like coming out the other end of the Drag Race machine? Because it really is a machine, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really weird. Good. It's just a lot to take in all at once. It's a really drastic change. And like the influx of feedback and public response, but it's been wonderful.
And how have you found the whole social media side of things? Because a lot comes with being on a reality TV show, doesn't it?
Especially Drag Race. A lot of people have got a lot of opinions.
Yeah, but people definitely do make their opinions known, good or bad. But the social media has been wonderful. I've been... What is the correct word? I can't think of that word. I'm very much used to social media. That's definitely where my drag has existed for a very long time. So it hasn't, social media wise, it hasn't been that of a transition for me. I'm very used to it. But like some of the other girls who aren't like, not that they're not social media savvy, but they're more like their drag exists in actual gigs and stuff. So they've all of them had like all of their influx in social media, and so I'm sure that's been a bit new to them.
So how do you look back at your time on the show
with unbridled joy, for sure?
It's a lot of emotions to carry around, good and bad. I definitely wish I wasn't as nervous and shy and overthinking absolutely everything. You being a drag race, you almost feel like the walls have ears, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Almost, it feels like everything you do could like change your outcome at the show. But yeah, I have a lot of fond memories, apart as well as bad ones. But I've got a lot of absolute love for everybody involved, and I always say it was the most stressful thing I've done in my whole life, but I would do it again every day for the rest of my life.
That sounds insane to me, because when you do something incredibly stressful, you like to put it behind you.
Yeah,
and obviously for you guys, you would have filmed this quite a long time ago. I mean, you can tell that because they've still got the partitions between the judges, which obviously haven't been on TV for a while now. Like, did you spend the last sort of, I'm not sure exactly how long it will have been, year, however long, being nervous about it coming out, knowing exactly what had happened, or were you more excited?
It was kind of up and down. I definitely had like my days where I needed to like FaceTime Dakota and just be held by someone because I'd be nervous about it. But then there were some days where I'd be really excited. And I know something me and Dakota both had in common is we were both really excited to see like how we would come across on camera. We were both really worried we would look bad. But thankfully that did not happen.
Definitely didn't look bad, no, absolutely not.
Oh, but yeah. But yeah, it's been, it feels, they told us as well, when you go back, like you film it and you go back home, it feels like it didn't happen. Like you almost, apart from like prepping all of your shoots and stuff for social media, it almost feels like it never happened and you kind of forget about it. And then it's announced and it's like, it hits you like a ton of bricks kind of a thing.
So when you look back and you watch the show, are you kind of happy with how, not just yourself being edited, but as a show, you kind of think it was very true to life? Because obviously you do a lot more filming that ever makes it to the screen because it gets cut down, doesn't it? So what they do show, is it a true reflection?
Yeah, I do think it, about 90% of it is a true reflection. We've all been saying how like things are almost intensified in the edit. Because we all left thinking like there's no villain. We all love each other. Like we had no arguments. But then they made like moments like when Pepper was speaking to Danny about Blobby. And like when my girl group challenged and we came back to the workroom. Those moments did not feel as intense as they looked on camera.
With Baby saying like...
Yeah, you know, like yeah. That was over in like 2 seconds. And there was no like... concrete harsh feelings afterwards, like we
you had just need that soundtrack though, that RuPaul, you know, the xylophone noise, and then it's like completely changed. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There was everyone watching, was you all in the group chat going, what the fuck, we never even thought there was drama.
Kind of, yeah. We all just said like it wasn't as intense as it came across on TV. Like we were watching and we were like, it looks like we hate each other kind of a thing, and that was not the case at all.
But it was also the case for you specifically, right? When you were saying, you know, I actually really enjoyed myself.
Well, yeah, that was true.
But your face is completely like solid, you know, so it's like, how could you actually tell? But I mean, like, you know, in yourself and the people that were there know, but obviously the audience see something different. Is that kind of hard to deal with?
I genuinely came skipping back into that workroom after we did the performance. I'm not even lying. Dakota was sat at one of the mirrors, like getting ready or something. I think she was getting ready for the runway. And I came skipping back and I ran up to her and I gave her the biggest hug. And I was like, I'm not worried. I think I did fine.
Slightly misplaced, unfortunately.
Yeah. They were working on that.
What's Rue like? I mean, I don't know how much interaction you actually get with Rue, really, but from your experience, what was it?
So I'm a great lover and appreciate makeup a lot, and I always questioned how much of Rue was like real, of like how much was created in post, or like if there was a filter, all those kinds of things. And I was so happy and fascinated to just see in person that it's all real. Like, that's what she looks like.
Wow.
So she really is just that flawless in the flesh.
Yes. Yeah.
Goals.
Yeah,
it's goals. Like having the best filter following you around.
I really laugh. I have a friend who went to Vegas and there was a Madame Tussauds of Rue in one of the big hotels. And his granddad was like, get me a picture next to that woman. She's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And they were all like, no idea. He was like, she was the most glamorous, most gorgeous woman. You're like, well, I mean, that's a good drag queen, you know?
That's just the most famous drag queen in the world, you know, yeah. Whatever.
And does she do all that makeup herself, or does she now? Would she have a team? Does she have
drag? I think she's got like a team of like 50 or something.
She's quite open.
Contouring, is she?
She wakes up in the morning, gets a coffee, sits in the chair, shows up on
stage. Falls asleep.
Fair play. She's earned a couple of quid. She deserves to.
Yeah,
put the blender down, Rue, and get glamming.
I mean, if I had the money to do that, I would do it in a heartbeat. So.
Amen.
Who wouldn't? What are your plans now? Are you out gigging? Like, what's going on?
So I'm currently throwing myself even more into what I've already been doing, which is fashion, makeup, being visually creative. I've just started my own YouTube channel, which I'm really excited about. I posted my first video the other day and the response has been so wonderful.
What's it about? Makeup?
Yes, so I did like a Get Ready With Me in my neon runway outfit. And we nice. Do a video for every week of the season.
That's a good way of you know, managing to tax all of your what's it like with your accountant, so you can say, you know, these outfits are all useful. And,
deductions.
Yeah, deductions, that's the word. Good deductions. So that's what you're going to keep your sort of career headed towards, are you sort of YouTubing, influencer kind of things?
Yeah, just being gaining experience in the world, like the world of fashion. I would love to break out in fashion. When I can, I would, it's always been a dream of mine to have my own makeup company. And then I would have to go to the store. I'll just
That sounds like a dream, really. I can see what about a tour? Is anything like that been announced yet, or anything, any thoughts on that?
There is a tour. Dates are not confirmed just yet, or I don't know if how much of that I'm allowed to share, but there is
all
a
of it.
It is coming. So keep your eyes peeled for that. It's very exciting. We're all working on some wonderful stuff for it, so I'm very excited for my third gig.
will it actually be your third gig?
I don't know, that's just a joke. Since we've been back from filming, I've done, I think, six more. So it's better than what it was.
Are you gaining in confidence through it though?
Yeah. It's really weird. So like I'll be booked for a gig and then I'll be really excited about it. And then it's the day of, and it's like 5 minutes, and then I've got to walk onto stage, and then like all the nerves just come back and it's ridiculous. Okay. But then what I do now, I like consciously in my head, I'm like, make facial movements and do stuff. And then like, it just comes afterwards, like kind of like fake it till you make it kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, good. You've learned something very, very good from your time on Drag Race. Mm-hmm. I mean, you probably know this already, but who are you hoping that will win, and who are you hoping to see more of in the show?
I'm rooting for everybody.
Rubbish answer. Go on.
Yeah, they've all produced such amazing work, and I will say the runway is in very capable hands since I've departed.
Great. Well, can't wait to see what you do next, Starlet. I thought you were great on the show. I really enjoyed the straight face performance. I thought it was great. Best of luck with it all, and hope it goes well.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It was lovely meeting you.
You're welcome. Can I say you've got the most amazing eyes, by the way?
Oh, these are contacts.
That makes me happy, because I was thinking, how can someone be that blessed and that lucky to have eyes on?
Oh, thank you. My eyes are green. I've just done a YouTube video. That's why I've got them on.
Love it. Well, you rock it anyway, babes. You rock it.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you, Starlet. Take care. Nice to meet you.
Have a lovely evening.
You too. Bye. I love that. You know, pure heart compliment there, Bob. Nah.
I sat the whole interview and I kept going, am I going to say how amazing your eyes are? You know, the more you look. And I thought, I'm just going to have to say it. But in my head, I'm thinking, I want your eyes. Like, that's the best colour eyes I've ever seen. So I'm kind of glad that you can go and buy them somewhere.
Boots, just pop down Boots. Boots the Opticians. No, it was a great chat. And I always find it fascinating with the Drag Race people, what it's really like. So you can please speak to Starlet, who I think is our first Series 4 spoken to. I think I'm right there.
I think our first.
Yeah, so that's great. Well, great show, Bob. What have we got coming up this week? Anything exciting?
I think a little bit of a chilled week. I've got a little lunch coming up at the weekend.
Lovely.
And maybe possibly a dinner, but pretty much chilled. How about you, babe?
Living the dream. I have a birthday on Saturday, but I'm going to Canada next week.
That's come round quick.
Yeah. So I'm not 100% sure if I'll be on the show next week, but if not, I'm sure you'll be in capable hands. So
you're packing your jock strap and your gimp mask
for my harness. But also a nice little woolly hat, because it's gonna be cold.
You've got to balance it out.
exactly
woolly hat and jock strap.
Well if I'm not here next week, then I'll fill you in the week after.
But if I am, speak to you then.
If I don't see you, have the most amazing time.
Thanks,
Michael. I look forward to all your stories when you get back.
Well, I've plenty of them.
Oh, I know you will. And I'm here for
not,
it.
Not all we can air. Okay, cool. Yeah, definitely. Okay, everyone, till next week. Thanks. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.